Hey, good morning, everybody. It is June 2nd, 2022. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you for listening, as I always say, today or on the archives. We archive over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, the home website for our Consortium for Equity in Education. Our magazine is over there, the online journal Equity in Access, Pre-K-12. Every podcast we've done is over there. They're all linked. Everything is up there. Okay, the other links include seltoday.org, which is our big SEL resource center, social emotional learning, which we think is really important. Equally important, teacher-retention.com. All right, please go over there. We're very concerned about the educator shortage, and we don't want you to leave your job. We want you to stay and teach those kids. Okay, so check out what we're doing over there. And also our Excellence in Equity Awards. There's an awards icon there. You can go nominate yourself for Excellence in Equity. Nominate a colleague, companies you work with. Companies can nominate themselves for their products, etc. So please, everything's at ace-ed.org. Check it all out. And today, we got a treat as usual with my good friend, Dr. Howie Knopf. I did it again, Howie. Howie Knopf. Damn K in there. Okay, K-N-O-F-F. I don't know. I know Howie. And I kind of even have it here in parentheses, Knopf. I can't believe I do this. It's one of those things that you know is wrong and now you can't help yourself. It's unbelievable. Okay? Unbelievable. Howie Knopf, everybody.
Good morning, Larry. Well,
good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Good, morning. Remember, I'm a psychologist. We'll do therapy later.
But, you know, I find it interesting that the K-N-O-F-F, the K in your name is silent, and the profession you've chosen, psychology, the P at the beginning is also silent. Is there a connection between the – right? Have you ever thought about that?
No, but that's your mnemonic to remember this next time.
Right, I'll never remember. I can't do it. It's unbelievable. Howie Knopf, everybody. Okay. Oh my God, it's just a riot. We're going to talk about things that aren't that funny, but it's a good thing to get started with this. We're going to talk about how to complete a school SEL, social emotional learning, needs assessment. And Howie knows what he's doing. He deals with this all the time at districts that he consults to through Project Achieve. That's his company. You can learn more about that at projectachieve.info, projectachieve.info. And Howie always has great stuff over there. But Howie, before we get into the SEL, you sent us a beautiful article. I just want you to comment, although it stinks and it's a week ago now, but I don't want it to be forgotten, which, welcome to America. Okay, the school shooting last week. Your thoughts, my friend?
Well, you know, that's where I was going to start today because even though when we set this program up about 6 weeks ago, Larry, and I was thinking about, you know, the end of the year and so on and so forth, when we're talking about social emotional learning, we're talking about school climate. We're talking about how kids and staff relate together. We're talking about the multi-tiered, which gets into kids having social emotional behavioral and mental health difficulties. And now with the shooting in Uvalde, and we can go back to Flint, Michigan, Sandy Hook, Stoneman Douglas, and so on, this is another exceptional reason right now for schools to look at their social-emotional learning climate. Because as the press, as you and I have emphasized throughout these different school shootings, it's not just about the availability of guns. It's about mental health, and it's about kids who have warning, who are calling it in, and it's about recognizing when we've got students in need. And so a social-emotional learning needs assessment, and again, it's not the be-all and the end-all, but it certainly can tap into looking at school safety, looking at the climate of the school, and drilling down to are we really giving the supports to the students that we need to be giving those supports to so that we can hopefully at least notch down, prevent, you know, to some degree that next school shooting. We're not going to eliminate them.
No, but we're not.
The piece that I wrote to you, wrote for you and for ACE is, you know, certainly looking at the facts, But I wanted to introduce the emotionality into this because there's a wide range of emotions with any school shooting. And, you know, as a school psychologist, I've been doing this for 45 years. You know, I've been through this. We've all been through this. But, you know, it's a time right now that we've got to harness these emotions. And really, let's get some things done. Let's decrease these probabilities, and that includes dealing with some of the policy issues that have been log-jammed up in Washington, D.C. Through how many different school shootings. And I'll just leave it
at
that.
Exactly. And you know, I just want to say there is no be-all, end-all. All right? It's all steps in the right direction. Okay? That's what we have to do is take steps in the right direction. All right, and if we start moving forward on that, we're in better shape than we were before we took the step. Okay, and I'll just leave it at that. Enough, you know, I feel bad, horrible, as everyone does, for those folks in that whole community, everybody, okay?
Yep.
The living, the dead, the cops, the parents, the teachers, you name it, okay? I just feel so bad for everybody, and they're going to be, if they ever get over it, and I don't know what they're going to do, but they'll figure out something, and they'll bounce back, I hope, and best of luck to them, and we'll talk about it on occasion, okay? And you're right, Howie, SEL is more important than ever, okay? We've been talking about it for years, social-emotional learning, and it's not outside the school's bailiwick, okay? And it's not there to interfere with the way parents raise their kids. It's just schools helping kids be resilient so they can more easily learn, especially in today's crazy world, all right?
Yeah.
And it has, it's just that simple. So as you go through this, okay, and you had a subtitle for this show. You called it, Are You Getting the Student Outcomes That You Want? All right, referring to school districts, are you getting the student outcomes that you want? Okay, and are you relating that student outcomes to SEL or the academic outcomes if your SEL is better? How do you phrase that in there?
Well, it's all of it, but, you know, for the here and now, let's just talk about the most critical outcomes. And the point here, Larry, is that we can't just be doing stuff. We can't be spending money and doing things online and putting our students online with different SEL programs. And we can't be doing professional development and all of this stuff without the outcomes because we don't have the time. But more importantly, we don't want to delude ourselves that what we're doing is going to have the outcomes that we want. So what are the outcomes that we want? First and foremost, we want, again, a safe school and a positive school climate. We want to make sure that we have good, positive relationships, but that means that the staff and especially the students need to have the skills. And so kids need to be learning those social skills, the social, emotional, and behavioral skills, or here's a different way to look at it, those interpersonal, social problem solving, conflict prevention and resolution, and emotional awareness, communication, control, and coping skills. And again, relating that to some of our kids who have some of these mental health or emotional issues, and then they're doing dramatic things like school shootings. But, you know, we've got to make sure that we can see the results. It's not just about the kids being aware of what they're supposed to do. It's the kids being available and aware and skilled in executing it. And it gets into classroom management. So a little byline to you, teacher retention. One of the primary reasons why we lose teachers in the classroom is that they're not prepared, and we've talked about this a lot, Larry.
They're
not prepared in terms of classroom management, and then they're going in and working and struggling in terms of creating that climate and relating to these kids from a cultural, a geographic, a demographic, from a disability perspective, and the teachers get frustrated with their lack of ability to be successful in classroom management, and then they leave the profession, okay? And we're not getting the support that we want from the administrator. So again, this needs assessment is allowing the school to kind of step back, to let an outside person come in who is able to be more objective, who knows the science to practice, who's able to interview, collect data, synthesize, and give the school or the district kind of a report card of here's where you are, here's what you're doing that's not working, which gets back to your original question, and here's your plan to move on. Because we're not focusing on those outcomes. We're not focusing on how do we motivate kids. How do we hold staff and students accountable? How do we do it in multiple settings? And especially, how do we do it in that multi-tier? So when we've got kids who need strategic and intensive services and supports for social, emotional, and behavioral reasons, we've got to have access to know what we need to do, who needs to do it, and how to do it in the best way.
And you know, Howie, I got to tell you, it's interesting the way you're positioning this, because as a school or a school district thinks about SEL, they have to think about what outcomes they want. Why are they doing this? What's going to be the result for them? It's not just, I want SEL, okay? No, there's got to be here's why I'm doing this. Here's the outcomes I want. But the other side of that bridge, okay, is you've got to have the data about where to start, okay?
Right.
If you don't know where you're starting, okay, you don't know how you're going to come up with that outcome, all right? And it all comes together, and that's why people have to be very, very careful, if I may, okay, because SEL is – there's no teachers that have been trained really to teach SEL, okay?
Right.
That hasn't happened yet. Yeah, we're asking everybody to incorporate it into everything they do. So there are companies, many of them, most of them with great intentions. They have nice products, but not every shoe fits every foot. Okay?
Exactly.
And you just have to, that was a great analogy. I may use that in the future as well, but it's true. Okay? So you got to know where you are, what you want is the outcome, and how to get there. Okay?
Exactly.
And by the way, projectachieve.info, everybody, Howie Knopf may be able to help you with this. He knows what he's doing, okay? So, Howie, some school districts are done. Some school districts are winding down, okay, for the year. Okay, can we start something now? Okay, it's June 2nd. Okay, that will make sense for the future. Talk about now. How's this all fit in now?
Sure. And again, a broader context here. Schools are complex organizations. And just like a business, there are times where businesses ask an outside company or person or expert to come in who knows how to run that business. But they're there to evaluate the working parts of the business from an objective perspective. And so when you're doing that, you're going in, you're looking at the data. You're collecting additional data. You're doing surveys. You're doing assessments. You're doing evaluations with a little E. You're interviewing people.
Yeah.
You're observing on the floor, if you will. So, you know, and just like you said with teachers, they're not always skilled in doing all these things. Well, administrators are not completely trained in how to run complex organizations. If you think about, a large high school or, a middle school or even an elementary school. Okay. So there's never a bad time to start. Why is right now a good time to start? Right now is a good time to start because we've got all of the data from an entire school year. Plus, we can go back 2 or 3 years and look at the longitudinal data. So we can look at where the kids are right now. We can look at grades. We can look at discipline. We can look at, a wide variety of things that we always have to report anyways in terms of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act or up to our state departments of education. This is a time, there's never a good time to do this, but at least right now, most of your administrators are 11 or they're 12-month people. So ever have a pause, but they've got a pause right now. So here's the point. I'm working right now. I was on a conference call yesterday. Okay, I'm working with a school district out in Washington State. And again, I did this recently with a charter school system in New York City, up in Michigan, Oklahoma. And, I do this all the time. But I'm working with a school district in Washington State. I was in there the first week of May. I did all of the back work in April. So I collected all this data off-site. I did interviews virtually and so on. And I walked into the school district this past May, just a number of weeks ago, spent 3 days days, interviewed bus drivers, paraprofessionals, special ed, regular ed teachers, related service, administrators. I interviewed groups of students. So I got all the voices. I did walkthroughs in the schools. And then eventually what I did was I, you know, pulled together and wrote a report. So I presented the report to the superintendent actually last night. She and I had a conference call.
Oh, cool.
But here's my point. I'm going back to that district in the middle of July, and we're gonna, and they're gonna, you know, have to pay some stipends to bring some of the people in, okay? But we're doing 5 days of building a 2.0 SEL infrastructure for the school. So we're going to spend a day and build their multi-tiered system back. Okay, I sound like Joe Biden here. Build back better. Okay,
build it back.
Okay. We're going to spend a whole day on what the first 3 days of the school, the first 3 weeks of the school year are going to look like from an SEL perspective. We're going to spend an entire day on looking at the discipline and a progressive accountability system. Now, again, these are all building blocks that I'm bringing to the table because of my experience. I mean, you remember, Larry, you know, I worked for 13 years for the Arkansas Department of Education.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they imported me in. They recruited me to basically run their state personnel development system and their school improvement process. So these are all evidence-based things that I'm bringing to the table that we've implemented in thousands of schools across the country. So we know that these things work. But the point, again, is that we're using some of the time in the summer to build it. But there are plenty of school districts that I'm doing the needs assessment in the fall, and we're building it into the spring. So it's a never-ending circle. There's never a bad time to do it. You just have to contextualize it in the right way. But if you don't ever do that outside needs assessment, you can't stop the cycle of inertia, and sometimes it's not good inertia.
Yeah.
Schools fall into bad habits, and sometimes they don't know how to get out of them. Yeah, sometimes they embrace a program, and as you said earlier, Larry, it's not the best program for them, but they don't have the time and the people to do all the vetting and the research to be able to get it done. So sometimes the expense that they spend, both in time, money, and effort, to do the needs assessment is going to pay dividends out 5 or 10 years.
It's really fascinating. I want to ask something. Just, you can use it, the district you're working with in Washington. Okay, Howie, when you go in there and they want an SEL assessment, they want to bring SEL into their district, when they say SEL, and I know we all know that's social-emotional learning, but are we all on the same page? Is SEL being the same thing to every district?
Well, that's where you've got to be really transparent, because you don't just walk in. I don't just accept a contract, okay? I mean, I'm fortunate in my life. I can pick, you know, where do I want to go? But more importantly, who do I match up with the best? And before I ever had the, quote, contract with the school district in Washington, I did about 2, 3, 4 different webinars, virtual meetings with the building principals. I sent them writing material. I sent them the Project Achieve SEL, Positive Behavioral Support, model. Okay, it's an evidence-based model. It was designated evidence-based by SAMHSA, you know, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services back in 2000.
Right.
So, I mean, we've implemented it, again, in so many places with such good data. But, I mean, what I did was I said, look, here's my perspective coming in. This is my definition of SEL. Here are the outcomes. Here are the building blocks. And if you're not comfortable with these, then we're just not a good match. And I don't want you to give me a contract. So you've got to do that vetting ahead of time. And again, if it's not, there have been plenty of places, you know, in Texas, I can remember one group that absolutely, a district, large city school district, wanted me to come in, and once I explained the building blocks, they were not as comfortable with it.
Yes,
and I said to them, I said, it's not a good match. It's just not a good match.
That's exactly the point we were making before. Not every shoe fits every foot. Okay?
Exactly.
It's that simple. All right? And people
right.
have different definitions of what they need. Communities have different definitions of what they need. So, but Howie, let me ask you this. When and again, we can use this Washington district, which we don't have to name quite obviously unless you want to, okay? But, you know, when we do the SEO, what will that – just generally speaking, obviously you're going to do a lot of work prior to that. Well, what will that entail when September rolls around? What is the what will just give us a general idea, so to speak, of what a typical action plan might be for a school district to incorporate all this?
Well,
let me put it in perspective. Yeah. Will every teacher K-12 be involved? Will it just be 1 hour a week? Will it be just the counselors? You know, that sort of thing. What kind of thing can we do?
No, for me.
I know all of those were no. I just throwing them out to put some perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's never one group. I'm looking at building wide. I'm looking at grade level. I'm looking at classroom. I'm looking at teacher-student interactions and individual students. So, I mean, we're looking at a multi-tiered approach. And, you know, for me, you know, whenever you're doing systemic change, you've got to think about a 2 to 3 year commitment.
Right.
You've got to build that infrastructure. You've got to lay those tracks. You've got to then move to. But you also have to do it in a smart way. Because if you've got a lot of kids with significant issues, okay, I'll tell you, I've been in school districts sitting down with middle and high school kids, and they tell it to you, folks. You know, no holding back. And again, I've been in situations where in the middle and the high school, the kids are at war with each other. We're talking about, you know, issues related to gangs, related to homophobia, related to, you know, sexual identification, related to what section of town you live in. And the kids are at war with each other. To some degree, the staff are kind of just observing. You look at the social media and so on. So, I mean, you've got to, when you're going in September, It sounds a little crazy, but you've got to be building the prevention at the same time that you're addressing the immediate needs. Because if you don't address the immediate needs, then what's going to happen is you're not going to get the buy-in. You're not going to change the momentum. And so if you've got significant levels of teasing, taunting, bullying, harassment, physical aggression, you've got to start with that, because otherwise you're never going to get into the classroom engagement. You're going to not tap into the motivation of the students and the staff, and you're not going to be able to see some kind of demonstrable early outcomes in the process. And it's not that you cater to it, but that's just reality. And some of our other frameworks in this country, including some of the SEL frameworks, they go in this kind of lockstep sequential. Wow, we got to do the prevention, and then we'll get to the strategic, and then we'll get to – but the point is, if I'm a classroom teacher and I've got 5 kids in my classroom with significant needs from, you know, on IEPs, and I need consultation from the special ed people, but they're not available, and then I got 3 other kids who have home issues, and they're coming in just completely off the wall every single day. If I don't address those needs of the classroom teachers right from the beginning, will never build the momentum for change.
You know, and it's great points, Howie. And what's interesting, you know, a lot of I'm going to say this the right way. Teachers understand how important SEL is. Okay, they do.
Yes.
All right. They know it. They know its impact. That's what I want to talk to you about. We ask teachers to do these things. We're talking about a systemic change within a given school district, let's say, in this case. All right? SEL in and of itself, okay, is extremely important. But let me ask this. I don't want you to comment on this. Do teachers understand, okay, the importance of SEL for class, not just for the kids' mental health and their own, so to speak, but for classroom management skills and to improve the academic experience for kids? Do you find that teachers understand that SEL fits into this and puts it in that perspective? This is really going to help you because it's helping your kids. I'm just, you know, maybe I'm throwing out a thought in there, but you go ahead, my friend.
Yeah.
They understand it.
No, they don't understand it. And the reason why they don't understand it. No, but the reason they don't understand it is because there are so many definitions. I mean, Harvard Education did, you know, an analysis of this a couple of years ago, and they found somewhere around 40-plus different frameworks, models, conceptualizations of SEL.
Wow.
And as you and I have said before, SEL is what you say it is, but that's not how it should be, okay? Because reading shouldn't be just what we say it is, and math shouldn't be what we just say it is. We've got to have some blueprints that are, again, tied to science. And so when I talk to teachers and I say, look, there is no, and this is true, and I'm not, you know, finessing this. SEL, positive behavioral supports, classroom discipline, it's all the same stuff because it's all the same outcomes for me, Larry. Social, emotional, behavioral, self-management, giving kids interpersonal, social problem solving, all those different skills that I talked about earlier in the program. So if those are the same outcomes, then what we've got to do is we've got to coalesce, we've got to synthesize these things together. SEL for me is no different than school discipline, classroom management, and student self-management. But that's the same whenever if I talk about positive behavioral support. And that's why in Project Achieve, we basically, we integrate it together. We say this is all the same stuff. We don't have enough time to do different things in a classroom, and we're confusing our teachers. Again, the answer to the question that you asked me, they don't understand it, because they're reading so many different variations of SEL and positive behavioral supports and so on, they have no clue which end is up. And so when I walk in and I say, look, here's our definition. Now, if you want to debate the definition, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to debate it all that long, okay? But this is what we're talking about. Great. Here are the outcomes that we're talking about. And then they say, yes. I need my kids to be able to be in their seats with their materials ready to roll, and they need to be actively engaged, and they need to be thinking and able to communicate and debate and discuss and make points in class. That's what I want my kids to do, and then I say, well, then let's move on. Let's begin the process. That's what we want. We want kids who are listening, following directions, asking for help, ignoring distractions. We want kids to do those social skill-related, academically supporting behaviors. Going back to your original point earlier in the program, we absolutely want to look at academic outcomes, but we've got to recognize that the academics and the social, emotional, and behavioral are interdependent.
I hope people are starting to recognize and understand that, which brings me to another point. I probably asked you this before, Howie, but I want to ask it again. And I don't know if you know anything about this, but do education schools. Now, everybody in K-12 understands the importance of SEL, however we define it. They all know what's out there, okay? Where does it stand in educator training? I'm not talking about in PD once they have a job. I'm talking about in the education school. You know, where does it stand with that? Or even in graduate, if you're going to be an administrator, where's SEL in that whole scheme?
It's basically at the same level and status as with the classroom teachers. You know, it's how the different colleges of education and the faculty are defining SEL and who
they've
been influenced by.
But are they even touching on it? My question is, are they even touching on it? Let me ask it a different way. Every school district wants their teachers involved in SEL. They depend on schools of education to train those teachers. Okay, do you know of any colleges that have built SEL pedagogy, so to speak, however you want to say that, into teacher training? I'm talking about schools, when I say colleges and universities.
Yeah, there are some schools that have done that. Some of them are doing it better than others.
Good. Yeah.
Is it a major theme of university programs, especially at the graduate training level? No, It's really not, because it can't be. Because, you know, colleges of education have their own accrediting bodies, and it's got to be a much more diverse kind of preparation. But again, the point ultimately, Larry, is, you know, yes, can we shore up, can we improve our colleges of education? Absolutely. We've been trying forever. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I spent 21 years of my life at two Research One institutions, okay?
Yeah.
I ran a doctoral training program in school psychology.
Yeah.
But the critical point is, when those educators graduate, if you will, or sometimes they're dual enrolled, but you've got to take your, when they come into the school district has to do an induction process, not just for the new teachers, but for the teachers that are coming in brand new to the district, even though they're already experienced. And they have to begin that process at the interview. They've got to sit there, and just like they match me up when I'm doing a needs assessment with a district, they've got to match up their new staff with their orientation, their philosophy, their science of how they do discipline and classroom management. Because the worst thing, and I've unfortunately had to do this and help some districts to do this, it is so difficult to terminate or counsel out a faculty person who's on your staff. And so, you know, the remediation to that is make sure you hire well. And so you've got to do the hiring based on the way that you want to see your classroom, your support services, your administration to do the work of the district. And if they've got a sound perspective of what SEL, positive behavioral supports, is, but again, that's part of the needs assessment, because right now there are probably more districts in this country that they don't have a well-grounded orientation where they're focusing on the outcomes and they know how to get there. They're doing the best they can,
yeah,
but they need that outside perspective. And then the last point is sometimes, again, they've gotten into traps. They've gotten in where one or two people, well-intended, well-meaning, have brought in, you know, a program, a curriculum, a whatever, and then everybody has just said, all right, that's, I guess, what we're going to do, and it's not the right program for them, but they don't
know
how to get rid of it. They don't know how to comfortably say, look, this is not working, we're cutting it loose. And that outside person doing the needs assessment, you know, the outside person doing the needs assessment can objectively say, this is not getting you the outcomes, this is not serving you well, you're not implementing it with fidelity.
Yeah, and you know, you're making a very interesting point as an aside, okay, but it shouldn't be more, it should be bigger than an aside. You said, I believe that you got to bring in new eyes. Okay, and you said, you know, bring in an outside person. Bring in, and I think you have to do that. You have to get that bird's eye view. All right, it's that simple. Otherwise, there is inherent bias built in there. Okay, and that's not good. Okay, you want the outside source, because this is more important these days than ever. Okay, and Howie, I'm going to say this: you have great eyes for this. Okay, projectachieve.info. All right, it's you know, you help so many school districts with all this. All right, Howie, are you going away? When do you want to do the next show here? Howie,
we'll get on calendars together. Now,
yeah,
we're not doing our driving trip this summer, so I mean,
oh,
I'm available. Yeah, so let's talk. We'll get our calendars, and hopefully a lot of educators where they're not in school but still a little bit tuned in, we'll get your different offerings and let some people listen to some good stuff on your show.
Yeah, we're going to keep doing it, Howie. We'll do it again in July. Okay,
right,
you're not
good.
Going on the trip, huh? Yeah, stay home and enjoy Arkansas in the summer, huh? Out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed Little Rock, my friend. Okay? All's good. All right? Howie, you're the best. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Hey, take care, Larry.
Thank you, my
it.
Friend. Howie Knopf with a K, which I'm still laughing about. I don't know why I keep doing that. Okay? So like, it's like knowledge. I don't know why I do this. Okay? Howie, thanks a million. Okay? Yeah, you guys
All right,
have
thanks,
a great
Larry.
Summer.
Have
I'll
a
talk
good
to you
one.
Soon. Yeah, you too.
Right,
bye. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. That's Howie Knopf, K-N-O-F-F. Okay, good friend, and if I say that K, I'm going to actually tell him we're not going to put the K on his name anymore. It's just unbelievable. Okay? How enough. It's projectachieve.info. He knows his stuff. He works with great stuff. So please check it all out. Okay? Projectachieve.info. We're at astashed.org. Please go over there, see all the stuff we're doing, including the teacher retention stuff and the SEL stuff. Key, all right? I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.